Voice Theater's main stage production of All My Sons runs July 12th through the 29th at the Birdcliff Theater in Woodstock, New York. All My Sons is a gripping drama written by one of the greatest playwrights of the 20th century, Pulitzer Prize winner Arthur Miller. Responsible for such great American classics as Death of a Salesman, The Crucible, and A View from the Bridge. Has right and wrong lost its value in America? A monstrous swindle catapults the Keller family, revealing their truths of profit and greed, love and shame. Lee Strimbeck, our dear friend, plays Kate Keller. Ryan Fike plays Chris Keller. And Shauna Cantor directs all of this. We welcome all three to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Hello.
Thank you, Joe.
Who made the decision as to mount All My Sons? Shauna, is that yours?
Yes,
okay.
I did.
So tell us what brought you to that conclusion.
Well, I think that we are in a juncture in this country right now where we need a lot of wisdom. And I think that Arthur Miller has a lot of wisdom to give us. It's a cracking good drama. And it's a play about, are we the United States of greed as opposed to the United States of America? And is business the end goal?
So how do you take a text that has been around for decades and then rephrase the question? Let me rephrase it.
Okay.
Do you have to look at it in a new way or present it in a new way or just present it the way that it was written and it still resonates as clear as it would have?
I think the text is, you know, it speaks for itself.
Yes.
And because it's a great play, it's timeless.
Sure.
And because many of the themes are things that I think are more relevant now than they were in 1947. So that was quite obvious and relevant.
What do you think it is about Arthur Miller specifically that the recent productions, Broadway productions, whether it be Crucible, View from the Bridge, and I'm leaving out one, The Price, that all have that relevance to what is happening today? And I assume much because of the time that they were being written post-war, McCarthyism and so forth.
Well, you know, he was a socially conscious guy from very early when he was at the University of Michigan. And so that is reflected in his work. And
he was such a deep thinker. A lot of us are reading Time Bends, his autobiography, and you just end up underlining phrase after phrase because he was thinking so deeply about politics and money and humanity and all of that and the very things that we're thinking about right now today. So I don't think any updating is necessary. Just have to enjoy the words and deliver the words as written.
Does it come into the discussions you have as you work on the play as to what's going on in the
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Constantly.
Yes, constantly. Exactly.
In what way? I mean, and how, and especially when it comes to, well, greed.
In terms of where we are right now as
Correct.
A country? Yes and no. I mean, you know, our first responsibility is to make each moment believable and alive and, you know, risible to the audience and the actors. So it's something that, you know, we could spend a lot of time intellectualizing, but actually, if we stay true to what's written, then it's self-evident. Then it's going to speak for itself.
The last, I spoke to Arthur Miller shortly before he passed, and he had this amazing book on politics and the art of acting.
Right.
And I think it was his final book. Right. It was nonfiction. It was essays. And yeah. and there he's pretty much going after Reagan. And why not? I picked that up, I guess, about a year ago. And that is, everyone should be reading that, too. It's really insane of how relevant it is.
Yeah. And one of the things that's great about his writing, both, you know, in his book and digging into this play, is there are no spare words.
No.
We repeat things, as humans do when they're trying to convince each other of things. But he really, there's something about his writing that's to the bone. And that's really great, including when he writes about politics in his autobiography. But it's definitely in this play. I mean, when you're learning the lines, you're always sort of losing words instead of saying, oh, he wrote that extra word there to express that thought.
And at the same time, it's not, it's a family drama. You know, it's a gripping family, you know, so it's not a preachy kind of experience.
Everybody's
really
flawed.
Everybody's trying.
Everybody's trying to make it better.
Yeah. Mm.
Not succeeding.
And I think that Miller, I get the sense that he had an understanding of how tempting and easy it is to slip into the basest and darkest elements of being a human. And he understands how easy it is and how understandable it is. And so I think that's why we get the fact that his insistence that we have to know it's hard work to be a good person. It's hard work mm-hmm. to be responsible for other people and to be a good citizen. It's, you know, to love your neighbor is hard work, but it's you have to.
Give us just a sense of what the play is about when we talk about greed. But Joe Keller is one of two men who are making bad parts for planes during the war. One gets in deep trouble for it, and the other one makes a lot of money off of it. And that's Joe. And in dealing with that, and it's sort of another hallmark of Miller of everything is not as it appears within the family. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, my character has two sons with Joe Keller.
Right.
And one of them goes missing at the same time that the parts are shipped out.
Right.
And so another hallmark of a great writer is you could ask all of the actors in the play what the play's about, and we'd all tell you a slightly different story.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that is one of the things that happens. And the other thing is about loss and grief. And when do you give up hoping someone will return?
And, you know, Joe Keller is a guy who made one bad choice. And he's been covering up for it forever. And it's about his journey through denial and then when the truth... Well, I don't want to give too much away.
Right.
But
also... Very much in the Miller tradition, as... And Chris, I think you probably speak to this, of... a meditation on the relationship between fathers and sons.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, there's, well, the character of Joe. I mean, he goes at length about how, you know, that's the unbreakable bond. There's nothing bigger than that. Nothing bigger than that. And, you know, and of course, yeah. With of course, there are many relationships in the play. The relationship between Chris and Joe is that of when can you look at your father and say, no, we don't do things like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the world has changed. You know, a whole generation went off into an unprecedented event, you know, the Second World War. And you know, and Chris is the type of guy, he thinks that he came back from that experience hoping that it was the last time that would ever need to happen.
Mm.
He was saying, well, maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's worth it, all the losses that we went through, because we'll change the world and people understand that this can never happen again. And that's something that his father doesn't understand. So they're at a bit of an impasse even from the beginning of the play.
And there's that idea of an idealistic view of the world, and then life just hits you upside the head.
Sure.
And just keeps bouncing you against the wall.
Mm-hmm. And I think when that happens, and in this family, when it happens, you keep making different choices, and your choices get reduced to, well, okay, I can't do the right thing for a whole community, I can't do the right thing for the whole world, but I can keep my son in the house. I can keep my son safe. I can make this, you know, so I think your choices get smaller when you're, as you said, being hit upside the head day after day after day. Just to protect what little you have.
So, Lee, let me ask you a loaded question, and that is that. So, you're playing Kate Keller, and it's a very strong woman in this play. Arthur Miller, when he is criticized, is often criticized for his depiction of women in his work, which often is, I think, the price being an example of how the female characters are often diminished. How do you feel about that, and is that something that you have given any thought to?
I haven't given it any thought because my tragic flaw is that whatever play I'm working on, I fall in love with, and then I fall in love with the character.
Yeah.
But it certainly seems to me that she's not a diminished person because the fight in her is so strong, first for her son that's missing, then for her son that's present who might be going, then for my husband. I mean, I'm fighting for all of them. Now, am I living my life in relation to three men? Yes, but it happens that me, Lee Strindberg, is married to a man and has two sons, so I know how great that love is, and that's not a gender thing. That's love and life and families. So in this play, I don't feel that about the character. And I have to say, it's one of the most turbulent, fascinating characters I've played in some time. So I'm really challenged by her moment-to-moment life and the power of her choices.
Did you want to say something, Sean?
I just feel that Arthur Miller has gotten a slightly bad rap. I think that Kay Keller is extraordinarily strong.
Yeah.
And it's an extraordinary complex.
Yeah, I don't really agree with it either, especially when you look at The Crucible and a couple and in Death of the Salesman.
I mean,
I understand the argument.
Yeah, it came about too because of After the Fall.
Right.
When Marilyn Monroe died and they were in rehearsal. And that whole thing happened and, you know, that was quite hard.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of his women characters are very strong women. And Kay Keller is definitely one of them.
And not to mention the character of Anne as well, who seems to be, you know, it seems like Miller wanted to give us Anne in the middle of this very tense situation at the Keller's house, as someone to be the kind of reasonable voice for the audience, someone to kind of be the grounded presence, and someone who's a little bit of who's questioning, like, why are we going through this? Why can't we just simply heal? And so that's one of the things I love about the character of Anne as well. Mm-hmm.
And there's a wonderful neighbor character who comes over, Sue Bayliss, who really has a lot of clarity and power.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's sort of like the Cassandra-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the truth.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the truth out of nowhere.
Yes.
So you'll be doing this for half the month and at the Birdcliff in Woodstock.
Thursday through Saturday, 7:30, Sunday, 2 p.m.
Beautiful old barn theater.
That's a great theater.
Intimate.
Small house, so reservations are really recommended if you're going to come. And, of course, Woodstock's a wonderful place to come and hang out before you see a show, too.
Last year with The Skin of Our Teeth, we sold out every show. So make your reservations.
Without reservation.
Without reservation, make your reservations. And the easiest way to find you on the web is?
www.voicetheater.org.
Voicetheater.org. And again, Voice Theater's main stage production of All My Sons runs July 12th through the 29th at the Birdcliff Theater in Woodstock, New York. Lee Strindberg, Ryan Fike, and Shauna Cantor, I thank you all for being here. Have a beautiful run, and thanks for sharing with us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure
having us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.